Chapter 16. Serpents in the Streets. Great capital cities of the world have precise geometric shapes because of Sir John Dee's pact with the macrobes. Since the entire human race was offered up in the pact, what better way than to have humans live right in the center of enormous satanic ritual precincts? We call these precincts cities. In the book, Secret Architecture of Our Nation's Capital, researcher David Ovison gives information gleaned from the Library of Congress, from the vaults and archives of Washington, D.C., and from the memoirs, letters, and writings of America's founding fathers, which reveal that cities and their design are part of an occult agenda instigated by Freemasons of the 33rd degree and beyond. Ovison, apparently, does not comprehend what the agenda is. He reveals that in Washington, D.C. alone, however, there are 22 full zodiacs secreted into the architecture and layout. This is more than anywhere else in the world. He draws attention to the reasons why the U.S. Pentagon, the Oval Office, and the Washington Monument have the shapes they do. Have we ever wondered why the members of the military adorn themselves, their buildings, and their hellish machines with stars? Have we asked why it is that the U.S. Pentagon is that shape, or why it is oriented due north towards one of the ancient pole stars, Thuban, the star of war and evil, previous to Mars? If one imagines the arms put back onto the perimeter of a geometrical pentagon, they will see it become a pentacle, a symbol, which, though not negative in itself, has long been associated with black magic and which is often utilized by members of satanic cabals. As we mentioned before, all we know, or think we know about the theme of Satanism actually refers to the alien presence and influence on this planet, and to no other source. It has rarely been revealed that the Vatican, one of the most truly satanic edifices in mankind's history, has spent literally billions of dollars to give mankind a false notion of magic and the black arts. Their efforts and expenditure go into the making and purveying of popular music and movies which are exploitative and gratuitous and which generate deviant messages about the nature of Satanism. The famous black and white classic horror movies, Dracula, The Mummy, The Werewolf, and Invisible Man, etc., the B-movies of the 50s and 60s, and the slasher or occult movies, The Exorcist, Friday 13th, Halloween, Evil Dead, Poltergeist, The Shining, etc., of more recent times, are perfect examples of their artifice. Along with certain popular genres of music which have occult themes and imagery, which may appear anti-Christian, these films and their creators are, in actual fact, surreptitiously funded by the Vatican, are also by the Jesuits and the Illuminati, via the record companies, marketing agents, and publicity houses. There is a reason why the pop icon Madonna, for instance, has this moniker and why she constantly displays the cross or crucifix. It is why the imagery in her videos is of the type it is and why she is so personally wealthy. It has to do with whom she and her promoters serve. The same goes for the Rolling Stones, Listen to Sympathy for the Devil, 200 Light Years from Home, Midnight Rambler, Painted Black, Goat's Head Soup, Their Satanic Majesty's Request, etc., The Beatles, and The Grateful Dead. And these are but three examples of thousands. The public would be shocked to their core if they were to find out the facts about this particular study and about what has been infiltrated into their minds and the minds of their young. Here are some of the key passages from the David Ovison's masterpiece, which bring out facts that have long been concealed from the public. The extraordinary truth is that the very existence of the Washington Monument is intimately linked with the Egyptian star, Sirius the Sihir, which the ancients represented in their sacred hieroglyphics as an obelisk as well as a star. How is it possible that this most important star of the ancient world should find itself, as it were, resurrected in the architecture of the United States? In the course of that day, when the cornerstone of the Washington Monument was laid, the sun would have passed over Sirius. Computations clearly show that on the day the Declaration of Independence was agreed in Philadelphia, the sun was on Sirius. The Mason who first signed the Declaration of Independence would have been aware of the particular significance of July 4th as a cosmic event. The day was the second in the so-called Dog Days, which begin on July 3rd. The Dog Days are so called because they refer to the rising of the star Sirius. This emphasis on the star Sirius is singular since the name of the monarch of Atlantis, Poseidon, comes from the syllable Po, meaning Sirius, and Don, meaning Lord. Even more suggestively, Poseidon was the god of earthquakes and was said to be the creator of men. Sirius also played a part in the moon landing of Apollo 11. It appears that the eagle landed when the light from this star was the brightest. The landing also took place in July, when Sirius is rising and visible from Earth. Avison reveals that before the cameras filmed the official placing of the American flag, a Masonic ceremony took place, which was never televised or revealed to the American free public. Buzz Aldrin produced a Masonic banner which was specially embroidered for the strange trip by the librarian of the Masonic House of the Temple in Washington, D.C. The Egyptian hieroglyph for the star Sirius consists of three shapes, a five-pointed star, an oval, and an obelisk. Amazingly, this is just what we find in stone in Washington, D.C. The entire city is dedicated astromantically to the star Sirius and its occult deities. Astrology is good enough for the ruling plutocrats, it seems. Pity that when the ordinary person seeks to use the divination arts for their own personal physical and spiritual empowerment, they are considered freaks and devil worshippers. Millionaires do not use astrology, billionaires do. J.P. Morgan. Avison's book continues, for within a year of Washington's death, it was recognized that the great man could most fittingly be memorialized by means of a massive pyramid. The pyramid was already widely used as a symbol in Masonic fraternities in Europe, and we should, therefore, not be surprised that it should have been proposed in the context of a national symbol guided by so many Freemasons. The chances of the correspondence being mere coincidence are so remote that we must assume that whoever was directing the planning of Washington, D.C., not only had a considerable knowledge of astrology, but had a vested interest in emphasizing the role of Virgo. The Constitution put before the people on September 19, 1787 in Virgo. Virgo is important for several reasons, one of them being that this is where the astrological descendant of the Earth is at this time. The numerology of the above date may interest researcher and author Richard Hoagland, who has, among others, emphasized the significance of the harmonic and ratio 91.5. There may be no doubt altogether that astrology played an important role in the choice of the key monuments for the laying down of the federal city. Even so, we are reduced to speculation as to which individual, or group of individuals, was behind this extraordinary undertaking. A survey of the foundation charts used in the building of Washington, D.C., reveals the importance of astrology, and, indeed, confirms beyond doubt that astrology played an important role in the early Masonic rites. The rationale of astrology was rarely discussed openly, even in Masonic documents. Knowledge of the stars, insofar as they were understood in Masonic circles, was preserved as secrets best left to those with specialist knowledge of such things. The practice of assigning places to the rule of specific zodiacal signs, and thus, in medieval times, two spiritual beings, is very ancient and has been extended into modern times. Since the discovery of America, we are able to trace most of the sources for the zodiacal rulerships ascribed to the cities of the United States. Perhaps it is sufficient that we recognize as true the medieval arcane notion that such beings could be invited to participate in the life of a city by means of the spiritual art of astrology. Avison then goes on to give one reason why the city was constructed according to such specific designs and dates. He speaks of the presence or existence of angelic beings, or overlords, who are being invoked to literally take part in the terrestrial operations of mankind. The Masonic fathers and builders of the city referred to these entities by their Latin term, cosmocrates. The leader of these mighty beings was due to take over the direction of Western civilization in 1881 caused considerable excitement in the esoteric circles of Washington, D.C., and the occult world in general. We feel that Avison's book and his findings clearly proves the existence of the macrobes. In the past, when one of the serpent masters or one of the sons of the serpents ended their long life, their confederates would generally commemorate their lives in stone by building a monument which encapsulated through its design and geometry the existence of the deceased alien or semi-alien being. We know these monuments today, for they are the cyclopean ruins that exist in almost every country of the world. Others, like the complex at Giza in Egypt, were constructed afterward. Such edifices are not tombs but cenotaphs. These monuments of commemoration are not to be confused with the circles, calendars, and earthworks that were made for utilitarian purposes. Those who have been and who continue to desecrate these monuments do so to appropriate the power of the artifacts therein and to change the frequencies that they generate for the good of the planet. The very earth itself is adversely affected with each of these invasions. Places where the body of one of the original serpent masters was interred would become geomantically corrupted and exude negative energy, becoming regions of strife and turmoil in the world. Conversely, the places where one of the Lemurian Magi are interred give off quite the opposite energy. These are places of unbelievable power and majesty. The study of these places and of geomancy, in general, is beyond the scope of this presentation. See the works of David Hatcher Childress.